You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, Alto Gary. Don't. Tony, we're not doing that about Alto Gary. I know she wrapped the girls in saran wrap or whatever, tinfoil or whatever.
She was there forever.
Well, she was.
All right, is that a culture?
Well, yeah, she created a culture. I don't know about a culture.
Who created it? Was that Bob McNair?
Alto Gary did. But Alto Gary was several steps below Bob McNair. I'm with
you, but you see how that could be like, yeah. Bob McNair had her in the building. Oh, he didn't know any of this stuff was going on, and she was there for over a decade. And you see what I'm saying? It can be put on anybody.
Right.
But we say, well, it couldn't possibly be McNair. Well, I don't think he did. I don't think Bob McNair knew anything. Yeah. But I'm saying things can go on under your nose
But she's several steps below Bob McNair. We're talking about about Daniel Snyder, CEO.
But there for well over a decade.
Yeah.
She was there for well over a decade.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't hear anything within a decade.
Well, and then you heard all of them saying, you know, this was a toxic culture. And you know what? And then she was like, oh. And then she was like, oh.
Well, all I'm making a point is there are instances where there are toxic cultures that people don't. I think a lot of it, Jerry Richardson was the toxic culture.
Yeah.
Right? But when you have owners, I think one of the interesting thing is there's some very hands-on. There are some who are in the building or in the place, which I think Dan Snyder is one of those guys, by the way. And then you have the Cuban. But you're going to hear more stories. This is not – you think this is the last story you're going to hear?
Oh, no. No, definitely not. But there's also the way you establish your business too. Like, is there an HR department where I can go anonymously report sexual harassment or any kind of infractions and not have any kind of repercussions? Because there was no HR department in the Redskins. There was nowhere for the Mavericks people to go. To tell on that CEO.
Yeah, and that's every major.
And that's the biggest problem.
Every billion-dollar company should have somebody.
Absolutely.
Like that. Every company should have somebody.
Absolutely, especially in 2020.
To protect. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that was that's one of the main problems. Because you feared for your job. And they established a place where, and she said, Liz Clark. Said that, you know, it was a place where I don't care if you're the quarterback or the coach or you're replaceable. Everyone is replaceable. So it doesn't matter. Just do your job. And if we don't win, you're going to get replaced. And you know what? You got to win. But certainly in Washington, they never win. They never win anything. They suck. So everybody's on pins and needles. Listen, I guess in 2020, that's not a good word. Like Jeff Luhnow, the toxic work environment that Jeff Passan talked about.
Yeah, that phrase was used.
Yeah, absolutely it was used. That it was win, win, win. We got to win, 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 win. That's a toxic work environment
Ukraine,
now.
Though?
Well, what? That we got to win, 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 win,
no,
win?
No, that there was a toxic environment.
Well, what's the toxic environment? We got to win, 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 win. Well, and if we don't win, then everybody's in trouble here.
Yelling at people, blah, blah.
Jeff Luhnow yelled at people.
I don't think it has to be yelling at people. It could be a creating a culture of fear. A toxic environment can be just you don't talk to anybody. You are standoffish. Like toxic can be many, many different things.
Well, and how many times did we say, wow, that front office guy is leaving, this guy is leaving.
Yeah, a lot of guys.
And we're just like, wow, they're just getting better jobs. Or they're getting the hell out as soon as they can.
I think Crane probably knew too.
Well, we had, Luno's second in command. Yeah. Was it Todman? What was his name?
Taubman.
Taubman. We know what he did, but why did he feel empowered to do it? So that's where you're talking about environment.
Because behind the scenes, they were like that.
Yeah. It is.
So, and Crane is very hands-on. So we could say Jim Crane knew about a toxic environment.
Might have.
And that's one of the concerns. You know, that's one of the concerns. Did he, you know, it's not sexual harassment. It's different. But it's still, nonetheless, toxic environment can be, I mean, it really can be. There's a lot of people listening right now who say, oh, no, we 100% at my job, whatever your job is, You have like the guys who call in from the warehouse.
Well, that's is Glenn Carey okay?
They rag on each other every Thursday well, on that's Thursday, a little different. Thursday.
Is Glenn Carey, Glenn Ross a toxic environment? Win.
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross.
You know what? If you ain't selling, you know what? Then you're out of here because that's the kind of work environment that Jeff Luhnow created. If we ain't winning and you ain't doing it, if you ain't contributing, you're out of here.
I think expectations of sales is a little different. I don't think the expectation makes it toxic. I think the way you treat people is ultimately, and the way people feel, and the way people feel when they go to work is the easy definition. If you got multiple people who hate going to work, it's someplace where you should be having fun, or it should be a good environment, but multiple people don't like it because of two or three bosses, or maybe an atmosphere that they allow, a work atmosphere that they allow to go on, that can happen too, and I think that happens way more than people think. The toxic, and sometimes it's just, you know, and sometimes you'll have people who probably consider everything toxic, when the fact is there are high expectations and there are standards, and some people are super serious about those standards, especially when it comes to sales. Look, we've got numbers, and if you don't hit those numbers, yeah, that may create pressure and stress for you. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily make that toxic, though. That's the nature of that business.
Well, then, okay.
My dad has felt tremendous stress with two-year contracts to win and to do this and to perform and this, that, and the other, but that's the nature of his job. It's not toxic that Dana Holgorsen, making the money he makes, is going to be expected to turn the thing around at Houston very, very quickly. Doesn't make it a toxic culture. It makes expectations high.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm wondering if, you know, in a front office, hey, we got to sell. If you don't sell, let's go. You know, now you got to wear tighter dresses. Hey, you got to take the sponsors on cheerleader trips. That's different.
Now we're getting into making people feel creeped out sexually.
Right.
That's a totally different thing.
Absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776.
Just stay on this for a second. I do think there is a fine line, though, between when you look at the Astros objectively. I think some of that was Jeff Luhnow was maybe churlish and abrupt and maybe not easy to deal with, especially for the more human element of the scouting versus the numbers-based scouting. There could also be an element of disconnection between the two different styles of, you know, the old school versus the new school. The Taubman thing, some of that may be something that's a little bit separate and a little bit different. You know, I know there's a lot of people who didn't like getting fired, but, you know, just kind of a counterpoint could be Jeff Luhnow and the Astros might have also said, hey, we got to get some of these guys out of here because they're not on board with what we do, or they're not completely in on what we're saying. Or there's also that kind of stuff too, where you inherit other employees and you're not happy with how they, and you let them know you're not happy.
Well, we know that it was a win at all costs. A win at all costs.
We know that for
sure.
We'll
cheat to win. We'll trade for a wife beater. Uh-huh. We don't care. We are going to win. So that's the
but
kind
you know
of
who else does that? Who else does that? Pa- I didn't say. Well yeah. Actually, who else does that?
Patriots.
Wait,
the Cowboys. They Greg Hardy.
Well, Cowboys didn't care. Greg Hardy. They kept bringing back. I mean, everybody who brings back Josh Gordon to me is like, man. I mean, he didn't beat wife or anything.
No, he's
like that.
Self-destructive. That's different.
Yeah, but I don't know why you bring that into your locker room. But it is different than Greg Hardy, who was a card-carrying, just terrible person. But the Patriots are habitual line crossers. Not, you know, they're habitual line crossers. And they will do anything at all costs. And they brought some not great guys in, too. And they will continue to. Aaron Hernandez. They knew some of the elements of Aaron Hernandez. I'm not saying they knew all of them, but they knew he had major character red flags. They still brought him in. It is a win-at-all-costs organization there, too. But they get passes because they win a bunch of championships.
But they must have thought that, yeah.
And they cheated again. They got in trouble they got in trouble for cheating with the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, where is the long uproar over them doing it again? Well, it's just the Bengals. Who cares? But this is a mindset where we can do anything we want, mm-hmm. and we're going to keep doing it. The Astros are the worst ever, but the Patriots have been doing stuff like this for a long time, multiple times,
yeah.
and they don't care. And ultimately, a big deal was made about it one time, really. Spygate more than the deflate. I mean, deflate to an extent, but a lot of people recoiled that this
that
is all,
dumb.
Come on. See, like, you know,
I thought that was dumb.
But did you think Spygate was a big deal?
Yeah.
Were there taping and deciphering kind of like a baseball game?
Yeah, they were breaking the rules. And so they should have paid
in
for it.
In game using technology to break rules. What does that sound like?
Sounds like something.
But they got punished for it.
Sounds like the worst people in the world to me.
And they're getting punished for it again a second time.
Sounds like the worst people ever.
Bring back Lanoa is all I'm saying. Sorry, James Click. I don't even know you. But.
Well. You don't even
we're winning at all costs, too. If it's good for the Patriots, it's good for us.
It's 814 ESPN 97.5. If you want to call in, 713-780-3777. Why you got to get on the Patriots? They're just standing over there doing nothing. We're talking about the Redskins, yeah. and here they are. Patriots are catching it.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. James is in the bubble wearing the thin blue line. There was a TV show in the 90s, though, Thin Blue Line. You didn't know about it. I told you that there was.
Listen
to everything I say
what
and just say yes, John. NBC. And James wore a thin blue line mask.
NBC? This show's a British show.
Thin Blue Line?
The Thin Blue Line, a British show from the 90s. BBC.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. You watched it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it about?
It was about the police department. It's the Bobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And was it a drama?
It absolutely was actually a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It was funny.
Who was in it?
A lot of people.
yeah, you're right. A lot
British
of people in it.
I don't British actors. I don't know them. No one knows them.
You didn't know Mr. Bean was in it? You didn't recognize him?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Bean.
Oh, yeah.
It was a comedy. Mm-hmm. It was funny. Mm-hmm. I laughed.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were watching a lot of BBC back then.
Yeah. I was always watching the BBC back in the 90s. Mm. Everybody was. See, you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know anything about it.
I know.
So apparently, well, James wore this and James is catching it because it appears he's taking the side of the police, which is not the popular side, and you get canceled immediately if you take this side of the police. So
James ain't going to get canceled.
Yeah.
People
are canceling
NBA
him.
NBA Twitter doesn't really like James Harden that much anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
What's it canceled? Is he going to have to leave the Rockets? Is his $40 million done? What does that mean?
No. James is canceled. No, he's canceled by people. Oh, you can be canceled without losing everything.
James,
I mean, you can be hated. You can be.
What does canceled mean? Canceled? No, canceled also can mean a lot more than it. This will be a one day thing, and that's it. And then James is going to hoop, and it's.
And people,
you think Rocket fans are off James Harden? They won't buy his stuff anymore, and all that.
No.
James is fine.
Look, James ain't well liked. Period.
Yeah, he ain't going to be well liked
nationally. No.
Well, but this is going to put. You know, he's going
to
be.
He might have to talk about it.
I'm pretty
or
sure
not.
He had some. Some liberals who enjoyed him.
James shouldn't have to talk about anything.
James
should just be able to just go about his business and do whatever he wants to do. If he didn't know, if he did know,
someone
might. You don't have to be accountable. As soon as people stop being accountable to Twitter for everything, it's going to be a lot better place. And like, well, I got to make sure I run this by Twitter. No, James, just do you. I don't care what you did. If you didn't know, if you did know, I don't care.
Well, people do, Lance. That's unrealistic. You don't care.
But James doesn't.
Goya
have,
has been canceled because the CEO praised Trump.
They haven't been canceled. We'll see if Goya leaves if they leave the shelves and go out of business. We'll see if that happens.
No. Liberals are canceling them.
I understand they're saying stuff on Twitter.
But then I'm pretty sure. Hey, what's that Goya thing? I'm going to buy some.
Well, we saw the president.
No, we saw. There's a boycott. boycott.
Yeah, the president, because the president went on Instagram and so did his daughter to promote Goya, which is not actually legal, but they don't care about that stuff, so they did it.
Yeah.
But James Harden doesn't have to answer to Twitter. He doesn't have to answer to somebody with 31 followers or 17 followers who puts the name James Harden so that they can be part of the trending tag. That's what happens.
It is unfortunate. Well, it doesn't really matter.
There's a lot of that going on.
But it's not limited to the 30 follower. Bomani Jones dropped a joke on him. He goes, well, he does play like he's the police. So whatever that might mean. So
I don't even know what that means.
It isn't limited to the people who don't even have an audience. I mean,
people are going to get jokes.
Whether it's just jokes or not. I don't know if the only time it might even matter is if someone asks him the question about did he know it, because someone might. But other than that, I mean, we're how many days away from games being played? Look, the mass doesn't really matter that much. James ain't going to win people over who are making these jokes anyway. I mean, so what does it mean?
It really doesn't matter. James doesn't have to answer anybody. He just has to go play. It's not going to be, I guarantee you, this is not something we're talking about in 2 days. But when we come back Monday, it's not even a thing. It's James. Because half the people why James is trending, they've got videos of him in practice because he had his first organized practice. So I don't think this is going to be, this is just something for people to talk about. I don't think it's going to be any kind of a big thing. The Chrissy Teigen thing got kind of wild yesterday. I don't even go into that. That was like, now QAnon is after Chrissy Teigen. And it's like they're screen grabbing. She deleted 60,000 tweets.
No.
And some of the stuff she said was like, hey, that was, even for 2011, that was a little creepy. Chrissy, I know you didn't have as many, you didn't have a million followers.
Right. No, so I know.
She went private with her account, and everyone's like, going private when you have 13 million followers? You went private? It's like, and they showed a fat guy hiding behind a small tree.
All right. Laramie Tunsil was on with Jay Williams on a podcast. And Jay Williams asked him about, you know, Laramie Tunsil negotiated his own deal with Bill O'Brien. And asked about, well, what was the process like, though? Tell me about the process. And here's Laramie Tunsil.
So how was that, though? Because, you know, it's like when I have to re-up my deal at ESPN, I know I can handle the finances of it. But sometimes I don't want to have that relationship with my boss because I might feel my value is higher than what he's trying to counter my value at. And that can ultimately affect our relationship. How was that with the coaching staff and with how you guys were able to come to an agreement on that?
Bill O'Brien pretty much made things easy. He wanted to get things done, and we got the contract done fast. You know, Billy O'Brien, he's a good dude, man. And, you know, he's getting slandered because of the things he did. But he's a great guy, and the negotiation process was pretty easy.
No, duh.
He's a great – you know who I always think is a great guy? Anyone that will give me a bunch of
money.
$4 million more than the other guys. Yeah. Listen, I got a 22% raise over the highest paid guy in all of football. He made it really easy. My guy Saint picked up the phone one time and just told him I was mad at him. And so Billy and those guys caved, and it was super easy. Like, wow.
And he admitted,
that was very telling too, wasn't it? He made it super easy for us.
And, you know, this is the second player now that's, and JJ said it before when he was asked about Bill O'Brien being a great coach, and JJ was like, we hear things, you know, we hear everything that people are saying about him. This is the second player that it's acknowledged that Bill O'Brien is, you know, how he has felt in publicly, and hear all the things about how dumb his trades are and everything. And, you know, and so it's not a deaf ear in that locker room. They have to be looking at him with a side eye. Because they know, man, what are you doing?
They know.
When you're trading DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson.
For him referencing, he heard for Laramie Tunsil to reference, he's heard that Bill O'Brien, they're going after Bill O'Brien a little bit.
And JJ too, he said, we hear what's going on
out
there. I mean,
when you're doing a job that you're not qualified to do, this is going to be the case. People are going to, you know, picket it and find out what you got. But that the Tunsil one was just a basic one. Like, that was just not that you got to make some things a little more contentious. You can't just give in, because when you give in on one deal, you now have reset your whole team. So you reset Deshaun Watson's expectations. So now, you know, I know the argument was made Deshaun Watson was the big loser in the offseason because Dak didn't get a deal done, and Mahomes took what some people consider to be a more team-friendly deal. It also helped get, you know, so did Tom Brady for his whole career. And it helped get Chris Jones under the cap for a good 4 years. But the reality is Deshaun Watson isn't going for a long-term deal like Pat Mahomes did. They know that they can get a short-term deal with Bill O'Brien. He'll give in. He'll cave. Jack Easterby will cave. They will give them the most money possible that they want. It wouldn't shock me to see Deshaun as the highest-paid quarterback in all of football ahead of Pat Mahomes now based on that contract. And I think he'll get a short-term deal to where the Texans are going to be forced at some point to give another mega deal without getting a guy locked in at an enormous amount of guaranteed money. And I just, it's just poor business sense in a cap sport. If you got an uncapped sport, pay him whatever you want, and then you deal with luxury tax implications, but you don't get out of those contracts. You know, baseball fans get pissed off with bad contracts because they know they're stuck with them. Long-ass contracts, they're stuck with them. If you're going to do a deal like that, there are ramifications when you have a capped system because you can't keep certain guys. That's why it's important to have a cap guy with a long-term. Bill O'Brien wants to win now. He needs to win now, and I get that. Most coaches are like that. But that's why you have the separation of power. You have somebody who's looking at the macro view of team building and how do you maneuver and play chess for 2 and 3 years, which is what Daryl Morey is great at, recognizing financial implications 2 and 3 years down the road, which is why he's usually so fluid and so mobile with what he's able to do contractually. I mean, there's only been one guy I say I'm get really stuck with, and that was Ryan Anderson. I have never seen him stuck with a deal, and I thought most deal. I thought Chris Paul, he was dead. I thought he was dead in the water with the Chris Paul deal. Yeah, that was a miracle. It was a miracle he moved Scottie Pippen. No, it wasn't Scottie Pippen. Who was there was another contract that I was very surprised he was able to move. But Bill O'Brien is a micro view. Now, what do we do for now? I got to have a left tackle. But when you operate your team building side like we got to do it now. You screw off your future and your team building stuff. And that's unfortunately what has happened and what is currently happening with the Texans. And this deal he gave Laremy Tunsil, I know it may not seem like a big deal to some people who say it's not your money, but I understand that the team that I like and that I cover is now there is an implication for what the quarterback's going to get, and now once you add those two together, you're going to have some issues retaining other players who are core players. That's just the math of a salary cap.
Yep. All right. Someone 378-0-3776 if you want to get in here. Craig DeSurf wants to get in here.
Craig DeSurf, I'm going to tell you something right now. I went and saw Craig DeSurf yesterday, and he said, who's the guy's name who just bought a truck? He listens to the show, and he just bought a truck. I'm going to shout the guy out right now. But the main thing is, when you go in, the guy's name was Derek. So when you go in, one of the things Craig told me that the guy was really impressed with was that everything I said came exactly true. You can go in and ask for Craig DeSurf. Craig wasn't a sales guy. I mean, Craig is a general manager of the store, but he went and saw Craig DeSurf because he wanted to, and he got to see Rick Drenner, and he got to see the whole crew. It is truly a down-home. It's out in Angleton, their dealership, but the atmosphere is so friendly. It's so welcoming. They have more cars that are coming on the lot every single day with production cranking up a little bit for some of the different vehicles. They got some different GMC vehicles that are coming in today. You get employee pricing for a ton of vehicles right there that they have in stock, and that truly is the same prices that the employees are getting. Make sure you take advantage of employee pricing and any and all discounts they have available. Get great trade-in value for your vehicle and make it as simple as possible. Whether you're headed down to Angleton or you want to do it all online and have the delivery process handled right to your doorstep, it's Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
JJ's not happy with the NFL. See what he put out. Here's what we know and don't know. We want to play. We want to be as safe as possible. We want to. We've not received a single valid IDER plan, infectious disease emergency response, from any team or the league. We don't know if there are preseason games or not. We don't know if there will be daily testing, semi-daily testing, etc. We don't know how a potential positive COVID test would affect contracts, roster spots, etc. Nothing has been agreed upon regarding what training camp will actually look like and how the ramp-up period will work. We want to play. That the NFL isn't doing anything. I think that behind the scenes, a lot of stuff is probably getting done. But we're closing in. Here's the deal, is we're not closing in. I don't think that the NFL players are going to report until August. Or, not August, but until September. And maybe end of August.
I guess late July was previously.
And now, I think it's going to be late August.
Late August, yeah. 1 month sounds about right.
And they'll have a month, and then they'll play in October.
Mm-hmm. I think it's not out of bounds to assume the beginning this year, all football, college and pro, their issues with having to move their schedules, and college could be a drastic move. NFL may be a little less drastic, but the idea of moving schedules and moving for the NFL, it's also potentially league schedule, which is the NFL doesn't like changing league schedule. Owner meetings are when owner meetings are. Free agencies when free agency is. The combines when the combine is. The draft is when the draft is. And that's how they like it. And they've never had to deal with anything other than that. This year might be the year that you have to be a little more fluid. And if that happens, it could leak into how you handle next year too. So it's not just 2020. It could also be 2021, because if play does go into the spring for whatever reason, or if the schedule, you know, especially for college football, if play goes into the spring, you're going to have to affect change for the 2021 schedule. You have to push it back again.
I don't think that it will go into they're going to move the Super Bowl to February 28th. That's when the Super Bowl will be played. Right now it's February 7th. It'll be February 28th, 3 weeks later.
I could see that.
Yep. And so I don't know.
But if you're doing that, that means football is being played, regular season football is being played in February.
In January.
No, February. You have to. Playoffs. You only have 2 weeks off. You're still playing in February. You're playing football in February.
February, you have 1 week, 2 weeks, right? Yeah, well, the last, right. No, actually, no. It'll be the last game will be January 31st.
Then there's no reason to push to February. Why push to February? Then why would you have a month off?
You're not having a month off. You have playoffs. 3 weeks of playoffs.
Well, no, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You're playing
regular
football
season
into February,
January 31st.
But you've never played football in February.
Yes, you always have. The Super Bowl's always
Super
in February.
Super Bowl only. You didn't have playoffs.
Right, right. No,
you're going to have whole
right.
scale. Like February is filled
the
with football.
First 3 weeks, the three weeks are going to be pushed into January.
Yeah, my point is you are playing football, not just the Super Bowl. You're playing football games, meaningful games, throughout February.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, well, the 2 week.
Your whole playoffs will be in February.
Yeah, your whole playoffs would have to be in February. Hold on a second. How long is the playoffs?
3 weeks.
But then you have the gap week before Super Bowl.
You don't have a gap week.
You can't. Okay, so you're saying no gap week.
Yeah,
you probably can't. You probably can't. Wow, right from the AFC and NFC championship game, right.
Well,
to
we've done
Super
that
Bowl.
Before, though.
No, I remember. It used to be the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's now with the way that everything's media days, and you've got to get. If you're the team that wins, the local media has to get all their travel set up. But who knows? Maybe you don't even – I don't even know what it'll look like February.
No.
They're going to have stands full. Is Super Bowl going to have, 25% capacity in a Super Bowl? And media going to be allowed to travel?
By February, we're going to be fine. I'm telling you, we're going to be fine. We're going to have a full stadium. It's going to be – we're going to be fine.
That sounds like when it gets hot, everything goes away magically. I don't know that it just – you still have to disseminate all the shots. You still have to have enough product, enough vaccine to span
– By February.
To span the country.
We're going to be fine.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think as long as they get the product out, the vaccine by December, I would think as long as you have a 2-month run up, then February should be okay.
I mean, the federal government's abilities to, you know, get things done since March makes me fully confident that we just give them a couple more months.
Fantastic.
It's all squared away.
No,
everything's going to be fantastic. Squared away.
Yes. Have you ever seen our federal government screw anything up? No. Yeah.
Yes, actually.
No.
Yes, I have.
Everything is run smoothly. Can't be smoother.
Man, when I think of we're just going to be just fine, I think of how things are going right now, and I just project we're going to be just fine.
Dell, you have a direct question. This guy said, I don't think you have an answer. Hey, guys, what has been – he sent this 18 minutes ago. What has been the bump music back the last two breaks?
I answered him.
You did?
Yes. Yeah, he answered him. MGMT?
Yeah, kids, and then I played some Anderson .Paak.
And that was Anderson. Okay, so that's Anderson. That sounds like red, gold, green a little bit. Okay.
Sounds like blue, thin line.
Can you just give me the entire list today? Wow.
I don't
this guy wants you to be DJ.
I don't have a list. I just play what I grab during the break. I don't list these things out. My genius can't be defined. Sorry.
Yeah, I can define your genius.
No, you can't.
Yeah, it's non-existent.
Clever of you.
Yeah.
Very clever.
That's the definition of it.
When I'm looking
that's
for,
the definition
when I'm
of
looking
your genius.
For someone to define genius, I go to you.
Yes, right.
Or not. I would go to anyone else.
Genius.
Or anyone else.
Right.
So
did you see, you mentioned a little while ago a salary cap.
Yeah.
Do you know who's pro salary cap right now in baseball?
This is so ironic.
He said he's never said the word salary cap.
What did he say?
Just read a headline and goes, I never said the word salary cap.
What did he say?
Well, you have it in front of you, Dim.
Who is he? Why are y'all keeping it a secret from the listeners?
Because he's teased it, so I'm allowing him to complete the tease.
A-Rod. There it is. Apparently, well, there's a story, and it's on, I think it's on Yardbreaker. I forget where I saw it. I don't have it pulled up. But A-Rod, apparently, well, and he says he didn't say it. He says, I never said the word. Okay. All right. Apparently he was quoted or he was,
the S word?
It was applied to him that he said, that baseball needs a salary cap. Well, A-Rod, let's take a look at your $250 million waste of money. And now that he's going to be an owner of the Mets.
Oh, then now we need
a salary cap.
But you can create your own self-imposed salary cap. A spending budget, if it were.
You can,
as it were.
Yeah, you don't have to. So you can spend as little as possible.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the deal on that is that, well, I can't look at the Marlins. I can't compete, so that's not really a salary cap because I can spend as little as I possibly want, but the Yankees are going to still spend as much as they want.
Salary cap would do two things. Number one, if it's a salary cap with baseball related income, it kind of protects the players and says, look, you get this percentage of a collectively bargained pie. Yeah. Relative to the income, you get that percentage, and as baseball grows, your salaries grow. Yeah. If baseball declines, your salary will decline. And so, obviously, players wouldn't be for that, but what it would do is it would be the most fair structure and system to help bring back mid-level and lower-level baseball teams. It's why there is
Green Bay
parity in the NFL. It's one of the reasons there's parity. In basketball, they've got a cap. But the problem with that is what we're seeing now, and this is relatively new. It's now the players are just saying, look, we'll control free agency. We'll gang up. We'll get super teams together, and we'll just go to the best places. We'll go to Miami. We'll go to L.A. So far, that's really the only two we've seen. Like, New York didn't materialize. People are trying to get out of New York. We've seen Miami. We've seen L.A. It's both been LeBron both times, obviously. But the Clippers is the other one with Kawhi and Paul George. And so it's been L.A. times two, and it's been Miami. Am I missing one? Another super team where players got together? I'm not talking about a general manager bringing pieces together. So even though you have a cap, we already know the guys who are going to make the most money know exactly how much they're going to make. And it kind of, you know.
They're going to play where they want to play.
They really can play because the money is going to be.
It'll be miraculous, won't it? Honestly, in this day and age, Milwaukee winning. If they retain him.
That would be
yeah.
almost unheard of yes. in this day and age.
It takes a Giannis, though. to do that.
But who's been the greatest player in the NBA over the last decade? It's over the last 15 years. It's been LeBron James. And LeBron is just that guy who is
and
a
next
bit,
is Kevin
he's
Durant.
Like you. He travels from different house to different house. He just rented in Miami, then he rented back in Cleveland, and now he's renting, maybe buying in LA. He's a traveler. He's a gypsy like you. He's a basketball gypsy like you.
It's nothing like me.
You're a traveler.
No.
Certainly untrustworthy like a traveler.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm nothing.
I'd like to challenge the McGillicottis to a bare knuckle brawl.
Listen, what about you, Mr. Gypsy, from job to job?
Hey, let's not talk about
okay.
that. That's all not, right. That's inappropriate.
How many teams did he leave? Like LeBron left Cleveland.
Oh, look, it's A-Rod calling someone a gypsy.
I mean, you have a little bit of a point.
A bit of it. A
minor point.
841 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. Yeah. So just
I'm a traveler too.
Just a tad ironic.
Well, wouldn't A-Rod know
A-Rod
best?
A-Rod and you.
Wouldn't he know best? Hey. Big contracts can decimate you.
Oh,
wouldn't he know best?
We cannot have a big contract situation like this. This is really dangerous for teams.
Yeah, he knows. I didn't do anything for the Rangers.
You got some really bad deals out there, like Pujols. You see what's happening with the Pujols deal? They're still paying that. Okay,
he knows.
By the way,
John,
how was it assumed that his baseball greatness was? Was created. What created such baseball greatness that brought in a $250 million salary?
Natural ability.
Has there been any other documentaries on Netflix that you watched?
No, there was Screwball mentioned something about Alex Rodriguez doing copious amounts of steroids.
Yeah, oh, okay. But that didn't happen when he's with
when
the Mariners.
When he got his $250 million.
No, it was happening back in Miami.
Can't be the case.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I know someone who knew him back then.
No. Not the man who has a field named after him at Miami.
When he had his $250 million, did that force lower mid-level players out of baseball, aging veterans, because they're having to pay $25 million back in the earlier 2000s with that deal, like 2006? Were there guys who may have been squeezed off of his roster because they're like, we just can't afford to pay you?
Yeah.
So you mean steroids could have gotten rid of players' careers, not trash cans?
Right. And people who didn't do steroids, the A-Rods and the Bonds and the they kept playing in baseball into their 30s when they should have been long gone from the game. Yeah. And guys who, you know, were punching Judy's that didn't have power, they couldn't get up to the big leagues. Yeah.
So what we're saying is A-Rod knows the downfalls for baseball, and he should be trusted. So he's right. Mm-hmm. Salary cap.
Bit ironic, though.
When we come back, I want to talk about the irony of people call other people Karens all the time now. But the irony is that Dwight Howard is basically saying someone did that to him. However, some of the same people who will call him a Karen will go full Karens on – and it's not even Karen's on mass stuff. Oh, we'll get to it in a second. But
side.
Dwight's a little upset because somebody told
Dwight's
on him
upset?
On the hotline. Yeah, somebody told on the hotline. And get this, Dwight's not taking something seriously. I know you'll never.
No.
No, you never could have placed Dwight Howard as a don't take something seriously guy.
No. Yeah, you certainly can't. But I do want to tell you know what I do take seriously is Chastain Ford. I take that seriously because I really think that it's the best dealership that I've ever worked with. And I do believe in those guys. I believe in what they're doing. I believe in the family atmosphere that they've created. I believe in the product. I love the Fords. If you haven't seen the F-150s, the F-250s, if you haven't seen the Explorers or the Expedition, I got the Expedition. I got it washed yesterday. It looks like it's brand spanking new, and it is awesome. And if you're looking for that wonderful Ford car or truck, business or you know, for your personal use, then it's all at Chastain Ford. They are the number one Ford commercial truck dealer in the city of Houston, which is saying something for a business that you didn't even know existed before this, because they never did any. All their business was referral or return business, not 85% of it. It was like, wow, That is amazing to be in business since 1933, and that's all your business. You got 0% financing for 72 or 84 months. You got no payments for 6 months. You got nothing down. It's the perfect time to go and take advantage of everything going on at Chastang Ford. You can shop at home at ChastangFord.com or get to the dealership on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastang Ford.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 848. So Dwight is pissed?
Yeah, I don't know if he's pissed. I don't know if Dwight ever gets super pissed. He revealed that somebody called the NBA hotline and told on him, letting the league know that the Lakers center hadn't been wearing his mask when he was supposed to. The NBA hotline set up to allow players and team personnel to anonymously report anyone who is not practicing proper social distancing or interacting with people outside the bubble. It was created after multiple players had been caught breaking social distancing protocol and were forced to re-quarantine. The NBA is taking a bubble very seriously. And if you have a problem with people not wearing masks out in public in your own life, then there's nothing wrong with having a problem with Dwight Howard not wearing a mask when he's supposed to inside the bubble where people are trying to make sure that they can get a season off and then get going. Dwight, you got the same rules apply to you, social distancing. Wearing a mask. It's compulsory here now. It's compulsory in most places. It's going to be compulsory there in the league, too. And if Dwight isn't wearing it, good. Tell on him, too. That's fine.
He told on himself. You know how many social media videos he's in not wearing a mask that are on Twitter right now while he's in the bubble? No one had to call the bubble. NBA just had to look at Twitter and see how many times he's making appearances without wearing a mask.
Dwight does strike me as a self-snitch. Where he'll just put stuff on social media. I don't follow him, so I'd have no idea. But that doesn't really surprise me.
Yeah, I don't follow him either, but if Twitter grabbed a video from his Instagram Live, it looks like, no mask, just talking Instagram Live. He snitched on himself. What are you complaining about? You put it out there for everyone. No one had to call the NBA. They just had to look at NBA Twitter.
I saw Austin Rivers talking about LeBron with his mask on. So he walking around outside by yourself, you still need a mask on.
Them's the rules.
I'd just be on the golf course because you don't have to have a mask while you're playing. That's all. That's what I'd do if I was there. They got three different golf courses. Man, what a life those guys lead. And they're complaining about their Mastro's food. Okay. Shut up. Don't want to hear you. Mark Emmert doesn't think, he says the data's pointing in the wrong direction. And we have to get a better handle on the pandemic if we're going to have a college football season.
I'm waiting for this this battle where the conferences go, shut up, Mark Emmert. Like, if they decide they find a way that they can play and do it, quote-unquote, safely, when they tell them to go, shut up, we're not listening to you.
Oh, right. Listen, guys, there is no problem. There was a new poll. This is real. There was a poll out. I think we can, honestly, now it's over. The fear is over. There is no more coronavirus very, very shortly. Young people and coronavirus is over. And they're the super spreaders. This is great news. There was a poll of college students. They polled college students according to a new College Reaction Axios poll. And they found that 76% of the students who responded to the poll are going to return to campus if they have the option. 66% of those said that they would attend in-person classes. And in order to make that happen, 79% of the people polled said they weren't going to attend parties. And 71% said they wouldn't attend sporting events. So, good news. Almost 80% of college-age students are not going to go to parties.
And you guys keep blaming the youth.
Yeah. I didn't know they were so responsible.
There you go.
There you go. They have, in a poll, you know.
Are they wearing face masks?
Yeah, they were wearing masks,
yeah,
right?
They'll social distance, yeah.
Did they say they'd wear masks?
Have you seen any videos of college-age kids not acting responsibly during the pandemic?
It's serious now. But it's serious now.
Yeah.
These are the
same. It's not serious now.
No, they're taking it serious because they want to go back to class.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to take it serious now.
Yeah, they won't go to parties.
They want to be in their mom's basement this fall?
After spending the spring and summer?
And summer. My kids are both leaving.
Question.
Next month. My kids are both leaving next month.
They got to get out.
They're both like, I'm out. I'm out.
So
JT said, you guys going to miss us? They're both leaving the same day.
Okay, here's a question. So 79% said, I will not go to parties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to. I'm not doing it.
Is a party like in the Ozarks where everybody's in the same pool?
Yeah, what do they consider a party?
What's a party?
Is a college party.
No, but
is that a frat house?
A get together.
I'm not going to go to a frat house
where there's like 12 of them.
Let's face it, this is the dumbest poll ever. Every single person there, probably at least 40% are lying. At least 40 of the 79% are lying. That number's going to be closer to the 30% range, probably 35%.
Lack of faith in America's youth.
79%. 79% said they wouldn't attend parties.
Yeah, you heard them. Well, I just assume people are lying.
Lying.
Just because you would go to a party.
Tell the truth.
Don't do that accent. You're not allowed. Just because you would go to a party, maybe America's youth
have
kind of evolved. I know you would have went to a party because you don't care about anyone.
I would have gone to a party.
I know you would have.
I'd go to a party right now.
I know.
I don't care.
John's different, though.
You would have done the same thing.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. All these college students are not telling the truth.
But they're better than you.
They're all going to say, we fight off the disease. It doesn't happen to us. It doesn't hurt us, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to go to parties. All I'm saying is, this is a funny poll to me. Like, this should be taken seriously. 80% of college students say, I am not going to parties.
I believe in our kids.
Sure you do.
America.
Sure you do, Dale.
I do too.
I believe in them. I don't believe in their parents, but I believe in them.
What?
Yeah.
I would
say 80% of their parents are trash.
Look at all these college football players. What are they doing? Wearing masks, getting their temperatures taken. Thank you.
America's youth taking it seriously.
Georgia Tech.
In the meantime, when are we going to talk about all of the teams getting kicked out of bubbles and soccer who can't stop can't stop themselves?
There's only two.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been a positive test in over a week.
Let's see how it works. Two positives in basketball recently. Football, only 2.5% of the players tested positive for coronavirus of over 700 players. Oh, that was pretty interesting. Baseball numbers, relatively low. You know, people talk, what they'll do is they'll throw out numbers, 76 people tested positive, and then when you look at the actual number, or 43 just tested positive, and then they, in smaller print, that's 2.3% of total players, like, oh.
Right.
The 43, I was like, oh, 43?
No, baseball.
This is really low. Wow, that's really good.
Yeah, NFL had 72, which is like 1.something%.
Yeah, I think 2.5 is what I saw.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, that's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. But it was meant to be like, 75 people are possible death. Like, well,
none of them were.
But the story, but isn't it right now that 2.5%?
And by the way, they didn't get it from anybody. They didn't get it from any team or because of the team or anything else.
Well, some of those workouts you could get.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were doing.
Hey, guys.
That's on networking.
With their arms around each other.
It's like hanging out with your buddies. You decided to do that.
You know what? If you're making that choice, I guess.
But we don't know how many players are actually tested. They said 70. I know you're giving a percentage, but they didn't give a number of players who actually were tested.
Well, what I saw had 2.5% of the players tested had it.
I thought I saw if they had tested the entire league, that would come out.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe that's how it was worded.
Because, yeah, the NFL didn't release the number of players
tested.
Do
you care what the number of positive tests are right now in July? Do y'all care?
No.
I don't understand what difference it makes to me right now.
Well, only if they get really sick. That's it.
And it only matters, well, it all matters, but it only becomes an issue as far as everyone who wants to see football is if there's a spread in a training camp. We don't know. Like you said, we don't have evidence of when or how these things occurred.
No. No, no, no. 857 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Being a champion is what's important right now. And how do you become a champion? All you have to do is go to champion.energy/1560. It's 9 billion degrees outside. You are paying a bunch. You have got your air conditioning going on all day. The kids are home. Everybody is home. And you're like, oh, my goodness, my bill at the end of the month. Well, that's dumb because you can pay less every single month. My buddy did it, and he was, like, amazed. He was amazed at how much cheaper it was, his bill. He was like, you are not lying about this thing. No, I never lie about anything. Champion.energy/1560.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.